In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for hour number two for Tuesday, June 1st, 2010 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The future of the defense authorization bill in the Senate will be the subject of our conversation later on in hour number two. Senator Carl Levin, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, will be talking about that issue, and you will hear him later on in this part of this program. We begin, though, with the discussion of your privacy at work, and my guest to talk about that, Hugo Teufel, former chief privacy officer at the Homeland Security Department, and now with PricewaterhouseCoopers. And I'm glad you braved the rain to get in here. Ed Marr brought the rain with him and made you a victim of the big storm that we've had here in Northwest for a few minutes.
Well, thanks, Francis. You know, being in the Army National Guard, I don't carry an umbrella with me.
Yeah, you don't need it. You're too tough. You just did your 2 weeks too, not too long ago, didn't you?
I did about a week and a half actually, and I've got another 2 weeks coming up next month.
I saw that on your Facebook page, and that kind of is a pretext to this conversation. We've been hearing a lot about privacy in social media and some of the sensitive things that federal employees should maybe be aware of. There's a story in Agence France-Presse today that a group protesting Facebook's privacy policies says that more than 30,000 people have listened to its call to quit the social networking giant. And that kind of comports with the conversation you and I were having about this issue before we went on the air, and that is, in the year 2010, it's probably not realistic for most people to manage their digital identity by just not having a digital identity. So how do you balance the information that you make available, who you make the information available to, and how you keep that information secure to make sure that only the people that you want to see it. And that's what I hoped we would be able to cover today, because you have, as you well know, being at DHS, there's that added layer of protection and privacy and so on that you need to maintain as a federal employee. Let's start with what your perception is of what most people who work for the government are not doing online when it comes to privacy issues and information issues that they probably should be doing.
Well, absolutely, Francis. And so, again, great to be here on your show. Always love being here, talking to you and your listeners. And a couple of things I wanted to mention, and you probably see me digging to get something out of my pocket, because even though your listeners can't see this, I wanted to have the demonstrative exhibit. I'm going to make a point here about something on my keychain.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of things. Yes, as you alluded to, Francis, you and I are friends on Facebook. And two, I just wanted to be clear that I don't talk about any particular company or individual, but happy to speak generally about social media, social networking,
sure,
and things that federal employees or anybody ought to be thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get to my keychain here. And what I've got on my keychain are a number of little plastic cards.
Mm-hmm.
So from various companies that, in exchange for my personally identifiable information, I got these little cards and I get discounts.
Right.
And what the companies get out of that is they have information that allows them to do a better job of marketing, because they can then track my purchases that are, you know, tied to me, because mm-hmm. they have my name and maybe my phone number and some other things. And
yes,
so Americans, you know, by and large, like to give out their personally identifiable information if they see it in a benefit to them.
If there's a perception of value.
Right. And certainly when it comes to social networking sites, Americans view social networking sites as something that they gain value from.
Mm-hmm.
But often what happens is Americans aren't thinking about what happens with that information. Where's that information going? What's the entity that runs the social networking site doing with that? And so when you think about social networking, let me step back for a second. When you think about social networking, there are two essential truths that you have to think about. And the first is that social media, Web 2.0, social networking, whatever you want to call it, embodies the best of the Internet. It embodies the best of what we think about here in the United States of America. It's participatory. It's democratic. It's open to all. Everybody has the opportunity to get online and say or do whatever they want to do. So that's the first essential truth.
Mm-hmm.
The second essential truth is, once that information is out there, it's digital, It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't coming back. You can't undo it. It's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to live with the consequences of whatever the information is that you've placed out there.
All right. That's a pretty daunting proposition. That's pretty daunting to think about, because it seems to be, well, as we saw with these people who quit Facebook, or I can change my handle on another website, or I can have three or four different identities if I want. You know, people think that there are ways to hide, and the prospect that that's not the case is can be pretty scary, because it's not just, I think everybody knows you don't go on one of these sites and put your social security number. That's a no-brainer, I think, in this day and age. But for example, the conversation you and I were having before we went on the air, my wife posted some pictures of our family trip this weekend. We went down to St. Mary's County, to historic St. Mary's City, had a terrific time. But we probably don't want to post pictures of, say, us doing things at our home where somebody might recognize those pictures. I think a lot of times we get focused on the idea of protecting our information from some other bad guy getting it and doing something with it, like identity theft, and thinking less about the prospect of you being the chief privacy officer at a high-profile federal agency and somebody finding out where you live who's an even worse guy than potentially an identity thief. I don't know that we think about those kinds of things maybe as much as we should, and the potential things that are going on there when some of the people that are doing these things are doing them.
No, absolutely right. And as we were talking earlier, you got me thinking about something that Jeff Jonas has talked a lot about. And I don't know if you know Jeff, mm-hmm. but great guy. And
he's been on the show.
I'm not surprised. And a friend of mine on Facebook, too. So Jeff does a lot of talking about this stuff, and it reminds me, it's very much akin in the Freedom of Information Act world, where you've got, you know, putting together this picture of information, and you take bits and pieces of things that you get in various places, and you know, sooner or later you've got this collage of information that gives you the identity of the individual, and so people don't think about that. You're right, the obvious stuff people aren't going to put out online where anyone can see. And social security number is an example. But what about date of birth?
Mm-hmm.
What about email addresses? And maybe you've got multiple email addresses. I mean, you know, most people probably have two email addresses because they've got at least one personal email address and they've got a work email address. But maybe they've got some other email addresses. And the bad guys, whoever the bad guys may be, and they may be criminal elements, they may be stalkers, they may be foreign intelligence agencies. They gather up this information and they piece this information to put together a mosaic. To go to the FOIA realm, they put together a mosaic there that tells them who you are, and then allows them to do whatever it is they want to do with your identity.
Do you think people understand how easy it is now to put that puzzle together, to construct that mosaic? Because it's really scary how easy it is when you dig into it.
I think the average American probably is unaware of how easy it is to put that information together, to give somebody a picture of who he or she is.
Mm-hmm. What's the balance for somebody who is at an agency and trying to get a handle on how deeply they should go? And we're talking personal now. Obviously, you're not going to post on an update on some social media site, some project that your agency's working on.
Well, you would think, but it has happened.
Okay.
So you know, great story, not here in the United States, but one of our Western European allies, an individual career government servant, started out in his country's intelligence service, moved over to the foreign ministry for a number of years, and then was going to move back to the intelligence service to head that intelligence service.
Mm-hmm.
And the individual was not on a particular social media site, but his wife was.
Uh-huh.
And his wife posted pictures of their latest vacation, talking about how her husband was going to be the head of the particular organization.
Oh,
she may even have used the particular one-letter designator for that, the head of that agency's intelligence service, and some other things. And so, as you can imagine, there was a lot of embarrassment.
Yeah.
Because that information was out there in the public. And if I'm not mistaken, the woman had also not ratcheted down her settings for that particular social networking site.
Mm-hmm.
So the information may have been available to anybody in the public, not just friends or friends of friends.
Oops.
So it happens.
Yeah. The setting of the controls is a whole nother issue, and we can talk about that later, or we may save that for another conversation, because I'm fascinated as I get to know people in government, at seeing what's available and what's not. Now, I haven't run across anything provocative, like you hear some of the horror stories about people who go for jobs and their bosses look at their sites, but that is something that happens in the government now, that if you apply for a job and you're one of the final people to be considered, they run your social media profiles, just like the private sector does, to see what you're up to and see who you're communicating with, to see what kind of information you're sharing and all that kind of stuff. That shouldn't be surprising to anybody, should it?
Well, you know, the interesting wrinkle when it comes to the government is that because it's the government, it has to operate within the confines of the Constitution and the laws of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And so government agencies have to be mindful of due process and employees' due process rights. In the private sector, there is far greater latitude for employers to do suitability determinations of prospective employees, or
mm-hmm.
employees that they may want to promote. So you need to keep that in mind. But certainly Americans are becoming more aware, though one might argue perhaps not sufficiently aware, of what the privacy concerns are when they place information on social networking sites. And
mm-hmm.
So I would note also that there really has become a blurring of the lines between work and personal. And I kind of alluded to that before. You need to think about that. It's on your own time.
Yeah.
But if it affects your employer, it could affect you.
Let's talk more about that when we come back from the break. Hugo Teufel is my guest. He is with PricewaterhouseCoopers and former chief privacy officer at the Department of Homeland Security on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our conversation continues in a moment.
Unpredictable economy. How much money have you lost? Join me, Carl Balestrieri, each week as we tackle the tough situations you've encountered and offer solutions for protecting your money and weathering this storm. In some of my future shows, we will be exploring the truth about investing, some of the things that your broker and financial planners may not be telling you. Join me, Carl Balestrieri, on Federal News Radio, Saturday morning at 10:30 for Right on the Money.
Save money at HalfPriceDC.com with half-price gift certificates to the area's best restaurants, stores, spas, and more. This week, HalfPriceDC.com has half-price gift certificates to Manny and Olga's, Irresistible Pizza, Subs, Euros, and more, with locations in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Place an order at a location near you today. And Old Dominion Speedway, Washington, D.C.'s only metropolitan place for racing action, with drag racing on Fridays and NASCAR racing on Saturdays. See all the offers at HalfPriceDC.com.
Wondering if you've chosen the wrong push-to-talk provider for your mission? Well, it's never too late to switch to Verizon. With the push-to-talk-capable BlackBerry Tor and America's largest push-to-talk coverage area, Verizon delivers the instant mobile voice connectivity and real-time data access your mission deserves, all on a device your people can depend on. To learn how you can put your mission on the map, call 1-800-561-6227 or visit verizonwireless.com/gov.
Federal agencies must submit annual sustainability plans starting this month. These plans must outline how the agency will meet Executive Order 13514 to conserve more, consume less, and reduce its carbon footprint. Tune in to the GovGreen panel Tuesday, June 8th at 11:30 a.m. to hear experts from the National Capital Planning Commission discuss the implementation, monitoring, and challenges of sustainability plans and how it affects all federal employees. Don't miss the GovGreen panel June 8th, 11:30 a.m. on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
On April 14th, the Army reached 1 million hours of unmanned aircraft flights. 13 aircraft were deployed in support of operations at the beginning of the Iraq War in 2003. Today, 333 different types of unmanned aerial systems are deployed, with more than 1,000 aircraft flying in Iraq and Afghanistan. It took 13 years to fly the first 100,000 hours. In the past 2 years, 500,000 hours have been flown. I'm J.G. Green.
Can you imagine buying a television or vehicle today that you'll still be using in 40 years? Probably not. When the military purchase an airplane, they know it has to last at least that long or longer, and the parts for the airplane may already be obsolete. That's where Airink comes in. Airink helps the DoD plan ahead for parts obsolescence. This planning saves money and lessens the risk of counterfeit parts being used if the original supplier no longer exists. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabeck. Here's what we're working on for the Tuesday edition of the Dorabeck Insider. Manor, Texas. It could possibly be the city of the future. They're involving their citizens in incredibly unique and creative ways. We'll talk to the city's leadership about what they're doing and how they've done it. And government speak. We're going to look at the best and worst of GovSpeak and get advice on how to talk like, well, normal people. All that and much more this afternoon, 3 to 7 on the Dorabeck Insider. It's only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guest is Hugo Teufel, co-leader of the U.S. Privacy Practice and director at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and of course, former chief privacy officer at the Department of Homeland Security. And we're talking about online privacy in social media and not just maintaining it at your agency or maintaining it in your office, but the personal issues that are involved there too. And what we were talking about before the break, Hugo, is the idea similar to what the kind of thing that happens in a journalistic sense. It's not really fair for me in an environment where somebody might associate what I like or don't like with my job at the radio station, even though when I'm on Facebook, I'm on my own personal time, or whether when I tweet something, it's my own, it's not a work sponsored account or anything like that. That line is really blurring almost to the point of dissolution between the work ID, the on-duty ID, and the off-duty ID. And this is something the Pentagon struggled with for a long time. They prohibited people from using social media. It got to a point where some outsiders said they did away with those restrictions because they couldn't really control it. But even if you can't, if your employer you can't control it, there are still some good ideas about what you associate yourself with and how you do it in social media that are good guidelines to follow, aren't there?
Well, sure. I mean, you have to be cognizant. If you're the individual, you have to be cognizant that your employer may be out there and looking online to see what is posted about the company, and certainly companies have the right and ought to be doing that because they've got digital reputations to maintain as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about a couple of examples of individuals who have gotten in trouble. And so, again, not mentioning names or companies, I can think of at least one reporter who, on his own time, using his own Twitter account, said things, you know, off the company time.
Yeah.
That related to a reporter at a competitor company,
mm-hmm.
that then the first reporter's company had to apologize for in their publication.
Yeah.
And you know, there are a number of stories of employees who run blogs and who perhaps decide to take pictures of themselves, maybe wearing the company uniform, and on company property, and then posting that up with the best of intentions, but because that image is different than the image that the company wants to portray of itself and its employees.
Yes.
There are problems for the employees. So so you need to be thinking about that. How will others view what it is that I'm saying or doing and putting up on the web?
Is it fair to assume that most people that make mistakes make them innocently? It strikes me that for every example of somebody using that example that you just did, of somebody wearing a piece of clothing, the first thing that most people go to and is something prurient. But it may just be the idea that you're swinging a golf club at work and the company decides or the agency decides, well, he shouldn't look like he's playing golf. He should look like he's working. I think it strikes me that for every one of these that is malicious or just downright stupid, there's probably 10 of them where somebody says, I've never realized that that would be an issue.
Well, I think that's right. And so, Francis, so what a lot of leading companies are doing is recognizing that employees are going to be on social networking sites. And companies that are pursuing leading practices often are putting in place social networking, social media policies so that they educate up front their employees about, you know, here's where we stand, here's the things that you need to think about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of companies are grappling with it. We see it a lot in financial services, in the financial services industry where social media may not be allowed on work computers. Now, the reality is with the proliferation of technology that you can tweet and get on Facebook from a portable digital device that you hold in your hand.
Mm-hmm.
But companies, especially in the financial services sector, recognize that there is the potential, purely accidental, inadvertent, of posting some non-public piece of information that may give somebody an advantage or a disadvantage out in the market that would harm the reputation of customers or of the business itself or others. And so companies are looking at this, and depending on who those companies are and what sectors they're in, are thinking about what do we need to do here, and without infringing on our employees' privacy rights or their right to speak and carry on their lives outside of work, but recognizing that there may be some overlap between work and home.
All right. One thing we haven't done, this is the time I was supposed to let you go. Do you have a couple of minutes that you can stay?
I've got a few more minutes.
Terrific.
Sure.
Because we haven't looked at this at all from the manager's perspective. So let's just take a quick break, look at it from the manager's perspective for a couple of seconds, and be back in a moment with Hugo Teufel of PricewaterhouseCoopers on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Checking your daily TSP ticker. The latest numbers from May 28, 2010. The G Fund is unchanged at $13.29. The F Fund rises 0.02 at $13.83. The C Fund falls 0.16 at $13.02. The S Fund is down 0.20 at $17.54. The I Fund falls 0.24 at $16.21. Losses for your L Funds. The 2040 loses 0.16 at $15.33. The 2030 down 0.14 at $15.22. The 2020 loses 0.12 at $15.14. The 2010 falls 0.04 at $15.32. And the L Income loses 0.03 at $13.97. Check your rates anytime, every day on federalnewsradio.com. Dimitri Sotis, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Please join the American Federation of Government Employees for its series, Inside Government. The weekly program gives you the real story on what's happening inside federal agencies and the rights of federal employees. Hear the latest from the nation's top lawmakers, celebrities, journalists, union leaders, and federal workers. Don't miss AFGE's Inside Government, Friday at 10 a.m., right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
This week on Agency of the Month, brought to you by ITT Defense.
The FAA has launched a quiz for people who visit its website. They hope it'll improve runway safety. Director of Runway Safety, Wes Timmons.
We're recording all of the results in the quiz. We're looking for trends to say, in general, people that take this quiz aren't as familiar as they should be with these kinds of signs or these runway markings. And so we will use that then to highlight a campaign. We can eliminate a tremendous amount of runway incursions just by that one simple act.
I'm Ruben Gomez.
Who did the FAA select to develop its next-generation air traffic management system to manage 87,000 flights every day? ITT. ITT Defense has a single focus: deliver innovative technology solutions to governments worldwide. From next-generation imaging that integrates space, airborne, ground, and soldier sensors to energy systems that disrupt the enemy, ITT has the technology and experience to address the most pressing mission challenges. ITT Defense, doing essential things in extraordinary ways. Visit them at defense.itt.com.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My thanks to Hugo Teufel, co-leader of the U.S. Privacy Practice and director at PricewaterhouseCoopers for spending a little bit of extra time with me. I wanted to look at the manager's perspective on this social media and privacy issue. If I'm running a project, for example, at an agency, should I be connected with all of the people that work for me through social media and be aware of what they're doing? I don't want to look like some creepy guy that's, you know, stalking people, but I also don't necessarily want to have one of these potential firebombs coming at me from out of nowhere. I want to be aware of what I might be up against at some point. Or is it, or maybe am I worrying about it too much?
Well, I don't think you're worrying about it. I think in the federal space, you have to think about first and foremost, what are we doing on this particular social networking site? Mm-hmm. So if a supervisor's employees are on a particular site and it's a site that they should be surfing when they're on their own time and it's for personal use, then my response would be, you know, if I'm friends with these coworkers or these people who report to me, then maybe I might want to friend them. But otherwise, that's their business. You know, my off time is my business, and you know, there's really no need there. If on the other hand, the agency is making use of a social networking site for official purposes,
mm-hmm.
and it may be an internal to the agency, not externally facing to the public, social networking site, or it may be an external site. That supervisor may well have an obligation, and the agency may well have an obligation to be aware of what gets posted on that site. And so again, good organizations, whether in the public or private sectors, have put together thoughtful social media policies that take into account how the organization is using social networking, and if they have responsibility for the site, often moderation, somebody going in and able to delete or take other action with respect to inappropriate or offensive posts. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
And supervisors and agencies ought to be thinking about that,
mm-hmm.
so that they don't find themselves then the subjects of lawsuits, you know, maybe EEO actions or other litigation because, you know, they allowed something that was inappropriate, offensive, unlawful to take place on a organizationally owned or sponsored social networking site.